And can you imagine what it would do to a person leaning toward the occult to suddenly see a vision of some place and someone and then to find out that it was actually true? Why, they would believe without a question of a doubt that they had actually left their bodies and gone there. Astral projection is the product of satanic manipulation of our senses. And if drugs can change our perspective, how much more Satan, who appeals to and drugs frequently the senses of man's mind, so that he may lead us to eternal spiritual death. Mr. Van Daniken claims he confirms what he says by astral projection, and the Bible stamps astral projection as satanic and occultic. So what are you getting? You are getting the testimony of a dabbler in the world of the occult that the Bible is false and that what he is telling us must be accepted as truth. Now, there are quite a number of things that could be pointed out about Mr. Van Daniken's interpretation of the Bible. The fall of man, or original sin, he tells us, was actually the result of man having sexual relations with animals. This will no doubt come as a great shock to the Roman Catholic Church and to the Eastern Orthodox communions who have been for years trumpeting and putting great emphasis upon the doctrine of original sin, which was man rebelling against his Creator in the Garden of Eden and eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had forbidden. In the book of Genesis, in fact, in the entire Bible, there doesn't appear one shred of evidence that male intercourse with animals ever produced the original sin, or that it was the original sin. This is purely fantasy and comes under the heading of how not to interpret the Bible. We are told that man was created by artificial breeding and mutation. Genesis chapter 1 says it was in God's image. We are told that spaceships arrived on earth in Ezekiel. In Psalm 104, verses 3 and 4, we are told that it's the landing of a spaceship. I'm sure the psalmist would undoubtedly been thrilled to have Mr. Van Daniken interpret that passage for him, since spaceships were unknown and the passage has nothing whatsoever to do with extraterrestrial life. Angels are supposed to have saved Lot, according to Genesis, from the people in Sodom who wished to destroy him and others. Mr. Van Daniken doesn't read history too well. He maintains that these angels were actually robots and that they were controlled by extraterrestrial beings. Now, it would be possible to give you about 10 pages of terribly boring material on what supposedly happened when extraterrestrial beings entered this world. But I will spare you this from Mr. Van Daniken's material and simply conclude this observation by saying, all of the things he says prove the chariots of the gods, the gold of the gods, and the gods from outer space haven't proven anything where the Bible is concerned. In fact, they are totally removed from any aspect whatsoever of biblical theology. In his third book, Van Daniken, The Gold of the Gods, claims to have seen a vast underground hideaway of gold statues and documents beneath the ground in Peru and Ecuador. He says that a man named Juan Morses led him to the underground caves. Mr. Morses was interviewed, and he said that he never took Van Daniken to any caves, and that Van Daniken wasn't in any caves unless he was flown in the cave by a flying saucer. Mr. Van Daniken says he knows that astronauts visited the Earth because he was there. What is the evidence? He says he was there. On a lot less evidence, people have been examined by competent psychiatrists. And yet 30 million copies of this kind of thing are being found in the homes of people around the world taking seriously some of the things Mr. Van Daniken is emphasizing. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that at the end of the ages, Satan would arrive in the person of Antichrist and would deceive with signs and lying wonders. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 14, we are warned that demons will work miracles and that Antichrist will work miracles. And we are told that we are not to take at face value any explanations of anything God did. We are to expect to be deceived and put all things to the test. We're told, in fact, in 1 John chapter 4, to test everything. Test the spirits, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus Christ warned us against those who would come speaking authoritatively and quoting him. And he said, when the time of judgment comes, I will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Mr. Van Daniken, if he just wrote science fiction, would be a harmless lark and some interesting reading. But when he connects it with religion and then sprays it with the world of the occult, he becomes dangerous because he is attempting to meddle with the things of God and of Revelation. And this is forbidden. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Ezekiel chapter 13 says, test the prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 18, test those who speak out in the name of God to give you revelations. And we're told also that all manifestations of the occult are dangerous to the soul because it leads men away from the one true God into the fields of eternal spiritual darkness. Mr. Van Daniken's theories do not stand by themselves. The scientists do not back them up. The evidence does not confirm them. What we get is the great myth maker giving us more and more myths. I was doing some considerable research into the background of Mr. Van Daniken, and Playboy magazine helped me out at this juncture. Now, I don't want anybody here to think that I am a subscriber to Playboy magazine, because I am not. I do not buy the magazine. But occasionally, articles come out in there which are quite revealing and helpful on contemporary subjects other than the female anatomy. And some of these can be helpful. One of these articles was an interview with Mr. Van Daniken. He was asked some interesting questions about his psychological background, about his life. And People magazine carried on the same kind of interrogation. Perhaps it would be interesting to find out what the myth maker is really all about. Who really is the man who formulates all of these things? Well, Erik Van Daniken is a remarkable man. He rebelled against the Roman Catholic Church, of which he was a member in his youth, and was caught stealing money in a youth camp. He was convicted of fraud and sent to prison after his return from his first trip to Egypt. He was released from prison and worked in several different kinds of jobs. He would travel around the world supporting himself and gathering information for his theories. Where was Mr. Van Daniken, according to himself, when The Chariot of the Gods was published? In 1968, when the book was published, Erik Van Daniken was in prison again. This time, he was convicted of persistent fraud, embezzlement, and forgery. A psychiatrist labeled him a liar and a psychopath. During his 3 years in prison, he wrote Gods from Outer Space. Dr. Sagan says of it, they have a greater density of logical errors per page than any other book I know. Van Daniken understands almost nothing, so he ends up seeing extraterrestrial intervention everywhere. Close quote. Studying Van Daniken a little deeper was a tremendously involved job. How do you go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of theory, misstatement, and every kind of scholastic chicanery to come up with answers without boring people to death and writing books exactly the same length as he has written? That presents a tremendous challenge. I have accepted the challenge by referring to two major research works which have gone into great detail on Mr. Van Däniken. One of them is a book called Some Trust in Chariots. Another, Crash Go the Chariots. And a third source, the American paper edited in Bantam Edition, 1973. From all the pages of research by scholars, I have managed to distill the following. And I think it is of tremendous import. In Some Trust in Chariots, 16 essays appeared by specialists in various fields, all of whom decided to analyze Mr. Van Däniken. Archaeologists, physicists, historians, the scholars whose fields he had written in. I have distilled their comments on the Van Däniken theory and if astronauts really showed up from outer space. I quote, giving full credit to these men who have spent so many thousands of hours in research in their own fields. Mr. Van Däniken tells us that the structure of the Great Pyramids is granite. Apparently, he hasn't studied too carefully on the subject because the structure blocks of the Great Pyramid are limestone. There is a difference between limestone and granite. One is soft and the other is hard. Mr. Van Däniken doesn't believe that the Egyptians could have built the pyramids, therefore they must have been constructed by extraterrestrial astronauts. He cites the fact that the blocks were too heavy for ropes to pull. How could they have had the engineering know-how, the techniques to accomplish this? Obviously, he never ever visited the Cairo Museum or any other of the source material areas that give this kind of information. The rope which Van Däniken does not believe exists is seen in the Cairo Museum and in a couple of others. The non-existent rollers, grains, and huts are also well attested in each one of these areas. The ancient Egyptians did import wood from at least 9 different countries. Mr. Van Däniken says they didn't. The Sumerian gods were represented in anthropomorphic form. Mr. Van Däniken says they were not. He states that the area of the base of the pyramid of Cheops, divided by twice its height, gives the perfect geometric pi. Unfortunately, it doesn't. In fact, he doesn't even have the height of the pyramid right. He says it's 490 feet high. He never measured it because it's 481.4 feet high, which would throw off the calculations a little bit from the individuals who were supposed to have such an advanced technology. He says the stone blocks of the pyramid were joined to a thousandth of an inch. All he had to do was go there with a ruler, and he would have known they weren't joined there to the thousandth of an inch. But these kind of statements are constantly made in the Van Däniken books. He says granite was not cut and used, but it was in the early Egyptian dynasties. And he says that Mars possessed an advanced civilization and that Phobos is an artificial satellite of Mars. This comes as a great shock to the astronomers and to all the people that have ever studied Mars, which he has never studied, because they maintain, quote, there is not a shred of evidence that Mars ever had any civilization, much less advanced civilization. Phobos is not an artificial satellite. One of the interesting things about how Van Däniken writes is you find quotations like this. Everything is, quote, possible and credible, close quote. And then a little while later, some things are, quote, incredible and preposterous, close quote. But if you don't read all the book, you never run into the contradiction. Jonathan Swift is cited by von Däniken and is supposed to have given precise data about Mars' two moons. Jonathan Swift does not give precise data. In fact, he's off by a very large factor. In quoting Einstein's theory of relativity, in one place to support his theory, von Däniken undermines his theory in another place. Emanuel Velikovsky claimed that Venus came from Jupiter, not Mars. Von Däniken contradicts him. One of the things that interests me in reading all these books, I don't know whether it struck your mind, but personally it did mine. If these gods from outer space were so tremendously advanced technologically over us and so terribly smart, how is it that all of the technology we see in the supposed drawings on the cave walls and all of the things which are supposed to be so advanced look like everything that we've got now, and we are not advanced? We are just entering the space age. I would think that somebody that arrived intergalactically with aircraft of that type thousands of years ago would certainly look a little bit different than we do as far as dress is concerned, and certainly would have a technology far advanced. He's also a great linguist. He says, Elephantinos in Greek means elephant. If you check any Greek lexicon, you'll find that it means ivory. There is a difference between the elephant's body and the ivory that comes out on the elephant's tusks, but Mr. von Däniken does not know this. He tells us that the Egyptians learned their mummification technique from the astronauts who came from outer space. They taught the Egyptians how to embalm bodies, and, for that matter, how, in effect, to raise the dead. We find no evidence of any of these things anywhere. And the fascinating thing about it is, Mr. von Däniken cannot read Egyptian hieroglyphics, knows nothing about what's on the walls, and therefore cannot give a thorough analysis of what is going on. I think John Weldon beautifully summed it up this way in a little footnote when he said, von Däniken has treated evidence as independent when it isn't, stated manuscripts are new when they aren't, combines separate sources without saying so, and does not deal fairly with accepted contrary opinion as to the nature of his sources. His poor scholarship, quote, discredits all that he has to say about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now I have 5 or 10 pages of the scholars contradicting Mr. von Däniken. He sees on cave walls and on pyramids spacemen. But the tall statues on top of the pyramid, which von Däniken called spacemen, now listen to this carefully, are in reality wearing feathered headdresses, not space helmets, protective breastplates worn in war, not advanced units, and the communication devices are atlatls, or spear throwers. These are the experts reading the walls. Mr. von Däniken says, here are the spacemen. The experts say, here are the savages dressed up for battle. Now we're also told that great blocks of granite or rock on Easter Island had to be moved around by forces that the Easter Islanders never had. He never checked it very thoroughly because the people out there have records of how they moved the blocks by ropes, pulleys, and rollers. So it's no mystery to see these big blocks on Easter Island because the people who live there know where they came from and what they are. And furthermore, that they moved them, not the gods from outer space. You also have an overall diagram shot in the CBS and the ABC documentaries of the great runways where the spaceships landed from outer space. Now, we know for a fact that sophisticated, very sophisticated form of landings are not done at enormous speeds from intergalactical type of transportation, but instead, the ideal landing is to come down and to fire rockets in reverse thrust to land. And some of those runways are miles long, supposed runways, miles long, which indicates that if they were spaceships, they didn't have any brakes. And who in his right mind would travel vast distances over galaxies without brakes? But that, of course, is passed off and no one pays much attention to it whatsoever. Mr. Van Daniken dives into the Aztec cultures. He dives into the Mayan culture. He dives into the Mexican culture. And he drowns in every single one of them. Because the experts who write in the fields say, Mr. Van Daniken doesn't know anything about Mexican culture. Quote, the Toltec god Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent, is earlier in origin than the Mayan god Kukulkan. And the accounts of Quetzalcoatl are Toltec, not Mayan. The Mayan describes only Kukulkan. But Mr. Van Daniken doesn't know that because he's never had a course in it. So he just puts the reverse information and people read it and say, my, how scholarly. It's amazing how you can be deceived simply by sources you don't know. And Mr. Van Daniken's books are filled with distortions of sources. The Mayan art Van Daniken uses to show an astronaut at the controls of his rocket has several flaws, if this is the true interpretation. What is the Quetzal bird doing perched on the nose cone of the rocket? What is the skull with fangs doing beneath the astronaut's seat? Possibly his mother-in-law. Why is the astronaut sticking his head out the window? Rockets don't have them. Fourth, why is he improperly clothed for space travel? Answer, in reality, a Mayan dignitary is seated on a throne over the skull of the Lord of the Earth and is ready to pick fruit from the tree of life, on top of which is a sacred bird representing the zenith direction. Close quote. That's what it means. But Mr. Van Daniken has a full-blown spaceship with an astronaut at the controls ready to take off, skull and all. The representations of winged gods in Egypt are obviously bird wings, not rocket wings, if Mr. Van Daniken had taken the trouble to examine it. And the evidence he gives to support the Sumerian flood, says one archaeologist, over the biblical flood disproves his own argument and establishes the validity of the biblical record. Now, what is all of this to mean in terms of the Christian analysis? It can mean only this. We are being asked to accept what neither science, history, nor archaeology gives us any evidence to support. We are being asked to accept theory in place of divine revelation, which has been validated in numerous places, whereas Mr. Van Daniken is validated no place but in Mr. Van Daniken's memory. From the point of view of the Mesopotamian evidence, we are told, the land of the Bible, this book is so full of error, misstatement, and untruth as to be worthless. Close quote. The blocks of the Cheops pyramid are only 2.5 tons. They are not 12 tons, as Mr. Van Daniken says. And modern engineers could build a copy of the pyramids without any trouble whatsoever. They wouldn't need the advanced technology of this civilization from beyond the stars. The inaccuracies in the books are summed up in this one paragraph. Quote, Van Daniken's work is inaccurate. It distorts the facts. It ignores known facts of Aztec civilization. It is careless and irresponsible. Yet, in Gods from Outer Space, Bantam Book 1974, Roman numeral 8, Van Daniken is described as, quote, completely free of all prejudices, close quote. He attacks Jesus Christ as the Savior, the personality of the God of the Bible, the credibility and authority of the Scriptures. He mangles the Old Testament by misinterpretation and by eisegesis, reading into it what it obviously does not say. And as Dr. C.F. Gold sums it up, quote, "Chariot of the Gods is a book in praise of visionaries, of daring speculation, and of fantastic theories. It supports these not because they are true, but because, quote, all things are possible," close quote. It condemns as narrow-minded and reactionary those who on other grounds reject the visions which take so much courage to present, close quote. I think I would sum up Mr. Van Daniken and what we are seeing in his books in one succinct sentence. Regardless of the impact he has had, Van Daniken has not one bit of evidence to back up his major thesis. And the Christian has no business accepting occultic testimony as proof of what God has forbidden man to penetrate. We have a great opportunity. That opportunity is to show to people who are involved in this type of thinking that at the root is the world, the weird world, if you will, of the occult. An impersonal God, astral projection, past and present, reincarnation, and a new religion, a one world amalgamation of everybody else and everything else in order to try and bring some semblance of congruity to a theory which has no value whatsoever scientifically, historically, archaeologically, or theologically. The Christian church had better remember that it is people like Van Daniken who are ignored that have in the past caused so many problems in evangelism. For people will find others quoting Van Daniken and these sources as proof that it is not necessary to believe in the revelation of Holy Scripture. The Christian church can take but one position in the face of all this, and that is the position that God has taken in His Word. Put it to the test, we have. It is incorrect theologically. It is incorrect scientifically. It is incorrect logically. It is a travesty on solid reason. And it is dangerous because it clothes half-truths in the glossy veneer of attractive technology. And people, without thinking, commit themselves to the implications that, when fully realized, are occultic and destructive to the soul. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. And if a man rise up and speak religiously, and that's exactly what he's done, then if he speak not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in him. Erich Van Daniken has no spiritual light in him. And the world of the occult will use what he has written to back up its advanced so-called theories of human development. May God give us the grace and the wisdom and the courage to speak out against these things factually and to love the people who are trapped by them, so that we may take the time and the effort to present them with the true gospel and the salvation which God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, bless thy word. May it touch each one of our hearts and convey to us the great need of standing firm in the liberty wherein Christ has set us free. Help us not to be entangled by all the things of earth, but to set our affection on the things which are above, where Christ dwells at the right hand of God. Deliver us and mankind from the awful darkness of the occult and from the dangers of Van Daniken and those who walk in the precarious pathways of deception and spiritual death. In Jesus Christ's name, with thanksgiving, Amen.